Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Jessica Kramus, your host for this series. I'm speaking today with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's teacher and theologian, and author of Critical Issues Commentary. Now, last week, we were talking about Enneagrams. False definition of sin. And there's a quote in your article that I would like to share as we switch into the next section, which is deceptive practices. The biblical doctrine of the Christ shed blood for the remission of sins is the doctrine of substitution. The righteous one died for the sins of lost sinners. Those who believe in him, coming to him on his terms, are saved and truly know God. Enneagram ignores this in favor of a journey home. What is this journey home?
All right. Thanks for sharing that. I interspersed my article with the gospel because you get so caught in all this junk.
Yeah.
Need the truth. Well, here's the journey home according to Hertz. Quote, "So how have we gotten so far off track? How do we heal ourselves from the false identities we've reinforced? Ultimately, how do we find our way home to the God of love and our true identity?" This is where Enneagram comes in. It reveals our path for discovering our true identity and help us navigate the journey home to God. Now, listeners, first of all, notice that in my quotation of Hertz here, he equates the God of love and our true identity. So finding your true identity is you're finding your way home to God.
Wow.
Okay. Instead of finding out who God truly is as he's revealed himself in Scripture, we're going to find out about ourselves. And there, by that means, find out about God.
All right. So how do they say we need to do this?
Well, wouldn't you know, it happens to be through Enneagram that they're selling here.
Oh, of course. How convenient.
Yeah, exactly. So up until whenever, at least the 20th century, they didn't have all of this stuff developed. They admit that.
Right.
The psychological aspects of it are even more recent.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these centuries, nobody had a way to God.
Wow. That's a pretty serious claim.
Well, they'll say, no, they found him here and they found him there, like the Buddhist monks and the Sufis, as we've talked about, or the Catholic mystics or the Kabbalah.
I was just going to say, but always the mystics, never the one who opens the Word of God and reads and believes.
Very much like what we deal with today in our society. People who believe in absolute truth, that God has spoken, are seen as the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The problems, and anybody with a mystical inclination, that's who we need to emulate.
Yeah.
Go into the world of the spirits and find the warm and fuzzies.
Oh, dear.
But some people who've gone into that world are finding out that these things are actually demons.
Right.
I just talked to somebody a couple Sundays ago who spent a lot of her adult life in the occult, talking to people who had spirit guides, getting spirit guides, doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And these things eventually turned on her.
Wow.
And she cried out to God and she got out of it.
Yep.
But they still would like to attack her. So
yeah.
It was interesting testimony.
Yep.
These things are evil. They may feel warm and fuzzy when you first try to encounter this spiritual journey of the inner self.
Right.
But there's a demonic realm. And when you're in darkness, you're in the demonic realm.
Yep.
The true self is a dead sinner. And the Bible says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Right.
Okay. So they're going to help us find our way home. And that home is supposedly the true, pristine self.
Okay.
Now, they have a way of mapping to help you do this according to Enneagram's theology, psychology, whatever it is.
Okay.
Because they can't really tell you very well where it came from.
Right.
What Hertz says is mapping the nine types with new ways to pray.
New ways to pray.
Yeah, we need new ways to pray.
Okay.
And if you do it, if you learn how to do it, you'll obtain what he calls spiritual growth. So if you really study this stuff very carefully, I read all three of the books that are Amazon has that are selling the most.
Okay.
Underlined. You saw how I got it all marked up and underlined.
Yeah.
I did a lot of work, collated all this material out of three books. And so I know about as much of it as most people, and I doubt most followers have gone through that much study of it.
Right.
This is a quagmire. It's a quagmire of utter nonsense.
Yep.
Okay, so you got to find your number.
Okay.
Just think of this. Now, they have these nine sins or vices or whatever from ancient Roman Catholicism plus two more.
Okay.
And I suppose you could say, well, I tend to be one of those sinners.
Right.
Somebody could probably do that.
Right.
Maybe use that to find out their, quote, number.
Yeah. Well, we all have sins we're more prone to, and we all have personality
right.
types. It's not that they don't exist.
People have different personalities or whatever, but the Bible doesn't tell us to discover anything.
Right.
It says to, by love, serve one another.
Yes.
Okay. We show up in the body of Christ by God's grace with our hearts filled with the love of Christ, and we serve, and whatever gifts we have will come to the surface.
Yep.
We don't have to go through some big old process.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on, and so when you get these books, they have everything broken down by the numbers. Here I have in my article, according to these categories, the intelligence center for ones is, quote, body, gut, instinctive.
Okay.
Let's just stop right there. That's just one of them. So if you go and you get this Enneagram and you try to figure out that you're a one, if that's what you are, now you have an intelligence center.
Okay.
And that's body, gut, instinctive. What is that?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what that means.
I'm not either.
Okay.
I have no idea what that means, but if that's a little confusing, there's still hope because you have a harmony triad.
Oh.
You got to get that.
Okay.
So if you're a one, body, gut, instinctive, and then you're an idealist. So you have, go by your gut and you have some kind of ideal out there.
Okay.
And then according to this whole process, the effect of that is frustration. So body, gut, ideal, frustrated.
Okay.
So how do you solve that problem?
Oh, they have an answer.
Well, you got to find out. So you find out what triangle you're in.
Okay.
And then it's going to be one of those three things.
Okay.
Well, in this case, the prayer posture is stillness. So you sit still and do nothing.
And that's supposed to help.
Okay. I have no idea what it would do because I tend to not do that. It would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
And what do I care?
Yeah.
What do I care? What has this got to do with sanctification, salvation, and serving God?
Nothing.
Okay. If one person likes to sit quietly in the woods and listen for the birds to sing, and somebody else like me would rather be in a boat pounding the water to try to find a fish to catch.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
It's not sin either way.
No.
See, they have false definitions.
Yeah.
Okay. And they redefine sin. If something actually is sin, then I need God to help me get rid of it.
Right.
I can't justify sin. So if I thought it was a sin to go fishing in a boat, I'd have to quit doing it.
Yeah.
But they're saying, well, you're a dominant type. You always have to be doing something. And so, therefore, to solve your problem, you got to go sit in a corner, do nothing. That's what they used to do to kids that misbehaved in school.
Right.
When I was a kid in a little school in Archer, Iowa, in rural Iowa, in the 1950s and early 60s, if somebody misbehaved, they made him go into the cloakroom behind the school and sit in there.
Yeah.
Where everybody else had class. And then when you calm down, you can come and sit in your desk again.
Yeah. actually sounds like a pretty good plan.
Well, it may have been.
But I'm sure, you know what, I'm sure that would be called a shaming message now.
Yeah, now it's probably,
victim
it's probably
has to
that
go
poor
the
kid
Enneagram.
That had to do it can't find his true self now. It was because the teacher said, you won't sit still, you go sit in the cloakroom.
I wish we had video so you could see the look on his face.
Well, we didn't
now.
Have videos or phones or all that. But nobody's worried about shaming back in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
Shaming was everywhere. Mm-hmm. Every adult in the world looked at us and said, we know your kids are up to no good, and we're going to make sure you don't get by with it.
Right.
Well, these guys would analyze that and accuse these adults of abusing us.
Right.
But they didn't abuse us. They helped us get one of the best educations we could get.
Yeah.
And by the time I got through high school, kids from our school were going off with great grades all over to wherever they wanted to go to college.
Yeah.
And acing things.
And they had probably learned how to sit still in the classroom and listen.
Well, we learned discipline. We learned math. We learned physics. And we weren't sitting around trying to find some pristine self.
Right.
Listeners, get a clue. This stuff is ridiculous. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help your children. It's so fallacious that I'd be embarrassed to even have taken it seriously.
Yep.
So forget your body, gut, instinctive, idealist, frustration, stillness, and rest.
Mm-hmm.
Rest. How do we have rest anyhow? What does the Bible say? How do you find rest?
Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
That's what Jesus said.
Yep.
And resting from what? From a religion of works.
Yep.
Matthew 11, where Jessica just cited what Jesus said, is in the context of the religious leaders demanding more works and rejecting people who wanted to come to Christ. Accusing his disciples in chapter 12 of being Sabbath breakers. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, they tie up heavy burdens, put them on men's shoulders, and they won't lift them but a finger. Religious leaders do abuse people by not telling them that true rest is found in Christ. But rest is not the kind of clear your mind,
right?
Solitude, do nothing. It's being in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's deliverance from false law works that can never make us right with God. And it's receiving as a free gift the salvation that Jesus paid for.
Amen. Okay. Now, listeners, Enneagram cannot make you right with God.
No. And it can't sanctify you either.
Right.
Now, the reason you go through this laborious process is that self-awareness is the beginning of liberation, according to Hertz. Self-awareness.
Wow. What happened to dying to self? Which
well,
we've been
you
over,
know what?
But
self-awareness doesn't help you with much of anything.
Right.
I would say we need to be aware of what sin is.
Yes.
And aware of what we're doing that isn't right, that's harming somebody else.
Right.
Okay. It's more having to do with attitudes and actions that God defines as sin.
Right.
Okay. But contemplating self is harmful.
Right.
It's very depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that give us the most joy, just in ordinary life.
Yeah.
Is when we get so caught up in something that at least for that time, we forgot about self.
Yeah.
You go to the baseball game of your favorite team, and it's at home,
yeah,
and it's the bottom of the ninth, and you're down by one run, and somebody hits a two-run home run, and the whole crowd goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we won that game. I thought we had it lost for sure. At that time, the last thing you're thinking of, am I in my stillness quad or triad? Am I?
Right.
You, for a moment, forgot so much about self that you had some joy and excitement.
Yeah.
Now, that's just an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus gives us rest and our sins are forgiven, we have the joy of the Spirit.
Yeah.
the joy of the Spirit doesn't go away the next time there's a game and the team loses in the bottom of the ninth.
Yep.
Okay? It's always with us.
Yeah.
I made a note to myself as I prepared for this podcast, rereading my article, that I needed to make this statement.
Okay.
It's a summary statement.
All right.
Here's what I said in the article. It is amazing that something utterly necessary for true spirituality was found by merging Eastern religion, ancient paganism, occultism, pop psychology, panentheistic theology, temperament theories, and unscientific speculation about human nature. Let me stop there. Everything that I just said are sources and, okay, and analysis of what this is, okay?
Right.
And here's what I went on to say. The resulting ad hoc folk religion is supposedly what we always needed. And then I write, but who knew?
Wow.
But who knew? You'd have to be a genius science fiction writer to come up with all this stuff.
Right.
And I think that's a good description. Ad hoc folk religion.
Yep.
That's all this is.
Yep. And this is not what God has ordained in Scripture.
No. And that's where we are going with this. Their version of prayer is not biblical prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that before. Remember, Hertz, I think it said, talked about non-conceptual prayer.
Right. We covered that in a previous episode.
Yeah, we covered that. We pointed out that there's actually doctrine in the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're inoculating you against biblical truth.
Right.
So if you think the goal that you need, depending on what your number is your mind to have no concepts in it,
mm-hmm,
while you're meditating or, quote, praying.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord's Prayer is going to destroy the whole process.
Right. You have to think.
You have to think.
Yeah.
About things like forgiveness of sins.
Yep.
About the holiness of God. About the coming kingdom.
Right.
Well, that's all doctrine.
Yeah.
So how can they say you don't want doctrine? You got to get your mind shut off. And so the biblical means of grace. Now, here's something that's key. Listeners, you got to understand this. These nine numbers and three triads are designed so that there's a different means of spiritual growth for every person, depending on who they are.
Okay.
So you fall into some category.
Right.
So you got to divide the church up into nine to find out the plan God has for each person.
So then that's really quite different than the biblical idea of means of grace that is the same for every believer who has ever existed and whoever will exist. There's one system, one ordained means.
Once for all.
Once for all, delivered to the saints.
What I teach, now there's an article in CIC about means of grace.
Yep.
And one of the things that I promote in that is the need for accessibility.
Right.
When God gives something to the church, means of grace, he gives it so that every person has access to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Accessibility, ACC,
mm-hmm,
means you can get there. You can go there. Epitomized by Hebrews 4:16.
Yeah.
We may go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need.
Okay.
The high priest, Jesus, is there for everyone.
Right.
And he's not going to turn you away because you have thoughts in your mind.
Right.
He's not going to say, sorry, you can't do this while you're jogging.
Okay.
You can't do this while you're doing something or you're not still enough.
Okay.
Or your mind is active.
Right.
Or you're with other people.
It doesn't work that
way. Yeah, or with you. In fact, means of grace are corporate.
Right.
If they're anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, Acts 2:42, they fellowship around the breaking of bread, fellowship.
The Lord's Supper.
Lord's Supper, prayer. Okay, it's corporate.
Right.
Not that you can't pray alone. That's true. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessary to be alone to practice means of grace. I say in my article, biblical means of grace are the same for all believers and do not depend on any capacity in man, whether innate or developed.
Right. Enneagram is developed.
They say it's hard work. It's very, very hard work. In fact, one of these guys says, I can't remember which one of the authors, start out by doing 20 minutes twice a day.
Right.
Of whatever you have to do, stillness, silence, or solitude.
Yeah.
And it might drive you nuts.
Right.
But you got to try to do it. But listen, listeners, why do you have to try to do what these guys tell you to do when God never told you to do it?
Obey God, not man.
Right. You can tell any one of these guys, take a hike away from me, you false teacher. I'm going to be active. I'm going to believe the doctrines of God. I'm going to ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. I'm going to be actively part of the body of Christ. And my mind is going to stay functioning. And I'm not doing solitude, silence, and stillness. And what are you going to do to me if I don't? Are you going to threaten me with not finding the true self?
Right.
Are you going to tell me I'm going to go to hell? Oh, no, because they don't believe there's a hell.
Right.
It's nuts.
Yep.
And what I don't get, Jessica, and I this comes out in my sometimes in my sermons, because my heart goes out when I see people lining up to false religions. They slavishly do things their whole lives.
Yeah.
Okay. They go to, look at all the people lined up to go to the Catholic Church.
Right.
When anybody who has the Bible can see there are no bishops, archbishops prescribed incense and doing this and that and
right.
Say this and do that. That's all a man-made religion. So what I don't get is, why do you do it?
Yeah.
You can say to the priest, you don't speak for God unless you give me the scripture. I've talked to people who have gone to these priests because they were going to marry a Catholic at some point.
Okay.
And the priest would be saying all this stuff, and the guy would say, well, what about this? And cite the Bible. What about this? And cite the Bible. What about this? And he just throw his hand up. He had no clue.
Yeah.
Clueless. Clueless. What about all the people with the Muslim religion or the Buddhist religion or Scientology or Mormonism? They do this. They do this. Now, here's another one.
Okay.
Do this. Do this. Do this. Silence. Solitude. Stillness. 20 minutes, twice a day, never given us by God.
Right.
In vain do they worship me, teaching for the precepts of God. They teach the traditions of men.
Yeah.
Vain worship, vain worship, vain ideas, vain beliefs, vain practices. It'll never get you to heaven. It will never give you the assurance that you need of the forgiveness of sins.
Yep. So, the God of Enneagram theology cannot save you, cannot transform you, cannot sanctify you. It's hopeless. It's a hopeless system of works.
Absolutely.
We're offering you, friends, the gospel. We're offering you new life in Christ. We're offering you the means of grace by which God transforms you into the image of his Son.
Amen.
So, you near the end of your article, you quote Romans 6, 4 through 6. It seems like that's a suiting way to wrap this up.
Okay. Let me do so again here.
Okay.
Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Romans 6, 4 through 6, the old self was crucified for those who know Christ. Dear listeners, if you don't know Christ, come to him. He gives rest, he forgives sins, and he will give you the means that are spelled out in Scripture to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord.
Amen. Well, that is the perfect way to wrap up both this episode and this series.
Can I have one extra thing to say?
Of course.
All right, this is my summary at the end of the article that you might be able to hear. I think I did this at the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Four C's.
Oh, yes, we need the four C's. All right.
I got to bookend it. Okay.
Yep.
Here's the four C's that describe Enneagram.
Okay.
Here they are. Complex, contrived, confused, and convoluted.
Well, I sure hope we have demonstrated that for our listeners. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Jessica Kramus.
And Bob DeWay.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.